you've ever had the pleasure of reading Tom Sawyer, you know one of the most memorable scenes in the book is when Tom has been instructed by his aunt that he has to whitewash the fence. Deviously, Tom sets out to get other boys to do the job for him instead. "Like it," he says to Ben. "Well, I don't see why I ought not to like it. Does a boy get a chance to whitewash a fence every day?" So we're told that Ben watches as Tom brushes back and forth, and he gets more and more interested. And before long, Ben is hooked. "Say, Tom, let me whitewash a little." The scene ends with Tom saying, "Work consists of whatever a body is obliged to do, and play consists of whatever a body is not obliged to do." We could say that Tom Sawyer shares an outlook like that third servant in the gospel we've heard about this morning. Both avoid work, if at all possible. We find a word at the start of the story that is important, and that word is entrusted. Remember it? We're told that a man going on a journey called in his servants and entrusted his possessions to them. It doesn't take much for us to see that the word comes from trust. The man trusts his servants with his possessions. He gives them responsibility over them. We have examples all around us. We see parents entrust their children to the babysitter. We entrust our medical care to our doctors. We entrust our car to our teenage son. Here in this story, the man who entrusts his possessions to his servants is an image for God. That really should be obvious to us from the story. We have been given responsibilities by God for certain tasks in this world. Those tasks, of course, depend on what God has entrusted us with. Or to borrow again from the story, God has given each of us according to our ability. Most often we simply talk about our gifts, those special talents or interests or abilities that seem hardwired into us. We're expected then to use these gifts to make our world a better place for everybody. There's that great story about Jesus' ascension into heaven after his resurrection. The angels are all excited about having him back in heaven, and they want to hear about everything that happened on earth. As Jesus explains to them that he has entrusted his apostles with his mission, the angels are shocked. "What if they fail? What other plans have you made?" And Jesus answers the angels, "I have no other plans." Entrusted. There's that word again. But back to the gospel story. We learn that the day comes when the master came back. He heaps high praise on two of those servants. "Well done," he says to each of them. In other words, these servants have done exactly what the master expected of them. They have used their gifts, their talents, in service to the master, and they have made big returns to show for their efforts. There was a family circus comic one time that showed Billy with a softball in his hand. He says to his dad, "Let's play catch, Daddy. I'll pitch the ball, and you say, 'Good throw.'" We have to admit that it may not be quite that simple, but the point is very much the same. If we pitch the ball, that is, do all we can with all that we have been given, then we can expect God to say to us, "Good throw." Again, the important thing for us to see here is that God gives praise to each man based on what he has given. We win God's praise by using our gifts, whatever they might be, to serve God. It's a waste of our time to look at what gifts other people have or to wonder why we don't have certain gifts. We have all we need to win God's praise. our gifts have been selected specifically for us by God. We use them well, and God says to us at the end of the day, well done. Of course, the one thing we don't want to hear is what the third guy in the story hears from the master. This is the guy who did nothing with what the master had given him. He just buries the talent in the ground. Talk about some dressing down he gets. You lazy servant, the master says. Or later, we hear the master say, throw this useless servant into the darkness outside. That should be a reality check for all of us. We can't expect God to pat us on the back if we've wasted everything he gave us, or if we've done nothing with our lives that has helped make this world a better place. Laziness does not impress God. If we never stick our neck out for anybody else, or if we're content to just take care of ourselves, or if we let somebody else do the work of Jesus, well, it's a crapshoot we're engaging in. Maybe a bumper sticker brings home the point. This bumper sticker was seen on the back fender of an old beat-up Buick, but the mud couldn't blot out the message. It read, if you were accused of being a Christian, would there be enough evidence to convict you? Those words should stop us in our tracks. Is there sufficient proof or evidence to show that we are actually Christians? Have we done the work the Master expects of us? The honest answer is our laziness. Our laziness is our biggest obstacle to getting the job done. Lazy. Remember, that's what the third servant was called. God laid it out. You've been lazy and useless. Quite naturally, we tend to shy away from a story like this one that we hear today from Jesus. We would much rather coast along, not be challenged or called to account for how we are actually living our lives. Well, today, Jesus puts it before us. Whether we like it or not, he goes right to the heart of the matter. And it is this. God has given each of us a life to live. And when it's done, he wants us to show him something for entrusting that life to us.